Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Carey Price versus Shane Goss despair. Huge moment in the game. I am doing great.
Voracek skating well. Oh, nice move in the slot and a glove save by Price as he ripped that one out of the air.
And then
here come the Flyers now. Couturier, Mason to the bench. Goss despair shoots a good save by Price. And the rebound, Couturier couldn't put it on goal. What a fine stop by Carey Price.
One of his best of the night.
Yeah, I think I just hit a shin pad right in front of me and hit my glove. I didn't really move a whole lot. It just one of those ones that hit me.
That hit him because he was in the right place at the right
positional,
time.
Positional goaltending makes guys better, and he's got it. Marty Brodeur was so good at it. Eddie Belfour was really good at it. Remember Jeff Hackett, Mitch?
I like Jeff Hackett.
Hackett was really good at it. Positional goaltending matters a ton.
Jeff Hackett was a guy who unfortunately played on so many bad teams.
He was with the Islanders when they were really bad. He was with San Jose when they were brutally bad. And he was with a Montreal Canadiens team that was going through kind of an overhaul.
Yeah, and Chicago too, right? It wasn't that good.
Correct.
Yeah. Jeff Hackett was a really good goaltender. Okay, but let's take it to the here and now. We've already talked a lot about Radulov. We're going to revisit that in a few minutes. But the other story, as Mitch pointed out earlier last night, is Michel Therrien deciding after Nathan Beaulieu had a very rough night in Boston on Saturday to move Alexi Yemelin up to play alongside Shea Weber. And I was thinking last night as I was watching them, and they were very, very effective, thinking of you all those years ago before anybody knew who Alexi Yemelin was, and you were on this guy, and you kept throwing his name out and urging the Canadiens to get him over to North America as soon as possible. And we saw what happened, and he seemed to be carving out a really good career, and he had injury problems, and a lot of people soured on him. And who knows what's going to happen the rest of the season, but man, the guy that we've seen since the season started is the guy that you first told us about.
The World Cup's helped some players, and it helped him. A lot of people are wondering where all the goals coming from and why is the game so good right now. And I think there's one thing positive to be said about the World Cup, and that is it got a lot of high-end players, a lot of major league games early at ultimately high levels of competition, and it forced defensemen to be ready because they're playing against such speed and skill. And I think he's one of the beneficiaries of that.
It makes sense, Pierre. Even if, for example, Yemelin in a matchup against Team Canada or even the North American team would be at a disadvantage because of the speed, but it would physically help him out by being up against that great competition.
Yeah, and it gets your timing to another level, too, so that you're playing and you're being forced to get out of your comfort zone, which is what coaches try to do all the time with players in practice, and they tell them that, get out of your comfort zone. And then, obviously, you're playing in live-fire exercise games, so you're really getting better. I think there's a lot to that. I've been talking to a lot of coaches about it, and they feel the same way.
After the game last night with Amanda Steyn.
And your thoughts on how Nathan Beaulieu played tonight?
He played well. He played really well. He had a good game tonight. I thought he was really responsible with the puck and even defensively. I really like I said, it's the fact that Emlin's playing really well.
All right, so he has earned, for now, the position alongside Shea Weber. Do you see this as a possibility long-term?
The most encouraging thing I saw when I looked at the stats this morning after watching the game last night was to see that they had Shea down just a little over 26 minutes. They've still got to get him down more than that, but that's what encouraged me. And I think when you're playing in that kind of situation, it's not a bad thing. It's probably a good thing that Yemelin and obviously Shea are together. But I would say going long term, it'll be interesting to see whether Alexi can stay at that level. I think it's going to be harder as you go along. But that was a good hockey game last night. Two teams that played a hard night's game. I thought it was good.
Therrien, today after practice.
I thought him, since the beginning of the year, he's been really solid. So that's why we promote him to play with Weber. He's a demanding guy to play against. He's physical. He keeps his game really simple. And that's the reason why we bump him with Shea.
He's a good guy, you know, and great player. But we have a team system, and everybody play right away, make for the team.
All right. We rarely hear from Alexei Yemelin, but we did after practice today. And the system, of course, is well, it's not conducive for a guy like PK Subban, frankly. That is, make short passes up the ice. And so in that respect, it's not too complicated for guys like Alexei Yemelin, who aren't very mobile. But the question is, on the other end, as you pointed out, especially later in the season, some of the guys around the National Hockey League don't have their legs yet. I would think maybe Thomas Pekanec is one of them. And that's when we find out about Alexei Yemelin.
I would agree. I also think once you get nicked up a little bit, you start to find out about guys. But right now, it's all good. The thing that I liked the most about last night, you could see the energy from Radulov. You can see the leadership of, obviously, Brendan Gallagher. You can see how they're playing to the strength of Shea Weber, which is really good. But you see that the Canadiens have pushback. Not sure you could say that last year, even when they were going through their winning streak. I'm not sure you could say there was a lot of pushback. You see pushback now. I think that's really encouraging.
Yeah, Pierre. I mean, one of the things I looked at last year in the third period, the team was a minus 20 goal differential.
Well, there you go. That speaks to what I was just saying. I agree with you, Rod. But, again, look at Gallagher. I mean, Galchenyuk's doing nothing in the faceoff circle, so they put Gallagher in there. He goes in, he wins a draw, back to Radulov. He goes to Weber, Weber back to Radulov. Gallagher doesn't hang out on the outside of the ice. He goes to the front of the net, off his stick and in. It's a great play. It's great.
It's amazing because there was so much focus on an inefficient power play, so they specifically drop Radulov back, and it wins them. Even though it didn't look good, they were given one last opportunity, and that's how they won the game.
Exactly. Well, that and a little bit of carry, but no, I agree. You're absolutely right.
Anything else from last night before we move on, Mitch Gallo?
Well, I'm just wondering, and I don't want to harp on a negative, but Carr and Sergachev being out of the lineup, Pierre, they're going to be out of the lineup again tomorrow in Brooklyn. That was already confirmed earlier today. And I'm just wondering, specifically for Sergachev, but I guess for Carr to a certain extent as well, at what point is it too many games being sat out by them?
It won't matter with Carr. It'll matter with Sergachev. Carr's an older guy. Even though he's not old by NHL standards in terms of career games played, he's an older guy. But it will matter for Sergachev. I don't know. You and Amanda are probably at practice more than I ever will be, Mitch Gallo. So you would know, excuse me, how hard they're pushing him, Sergachev, that is. But that's a big part of it, too. What's he doing on the days when he's not playing?
It's the fact that Alcée is capable to adjust to the NHL. I haven't played in the NHL for a few years, and we know about the players, you know, and we know about his passion. You know, for a guy who haven't played in the NHL for a few years, and is he going to be able to adjust to the speed of the game, because the game has been changed over the last few years, and this is, he adapted really well.
Michel Therrien. Okay, now let's get to Alexander Radulov with Pierre McGuire a little bit, and then we'll talk around the rest of the National Hockey League. We were kicking this around earlier in the show, Pierre. I don't care what league you're in, whether it's the KHL, whatever. If you've spent time in the National Hockey League and people have written you off, that's got to drive you. That's got to motivate you a little bit, at least. No?
Oh, absolutely. I think you're really onto something. I remember talking to you after the Olympics and saying Radulov was the best Russian player. I know we've talked about it on the show. He was passionate. He and Malkin were the two best Russian players, without a doubt. And you could see he was driving to try to get a job. He wanted to prove people wrong. Well, he's getting his chance now, and he's taking advantage of it.
So if you're Marc Bergevin, who knows what went on leading to the agreement on a one-year deal for $575? Oh, what's the rule? Is it December, January? They can't start talking?
After January.
So do you let it just play out and know how much he loves playing here, but also risk? I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but that's, you know, everybody's thinking the same thing with this guy on a one-year deal. What do you think?
I would always keep lines of communication open with the agent. I would never really tip my hand. I'd always want to make sure the player knew that we respected him and what he's done. And we also, and I would make this known, we respect the fact he took a one-year deal without the safety net. And so we're going to try to make sure that everybody feels good about this. But we want you to know how important you are to our program. We really appreciate everything you've done. I think you got to do the same thing with the agent. Always keep a line of communication open so that it doesn't become, a big misstep. I'll give you an example. Yzerman and Stamkos, the line of communication never closed. It never, ever closed. And Tampa was able to keep them because of that.
We know that prior to the contract offer, the Canadian spoke to Shea Weber. And publicly, like, if you had mentioned Alex Radulov before July 1st, we're all thinking the same thing, his reputation, what happened the last time in Nashville. And for Shea Weber, who played with them, like, on the surface, it would have been really easy for Shea Weber to tell his GM, no, we don't want him, bad teammate. But he played with him. He knows him better than we do. The fact that Weber gave his blessing means that he noticed something in Radulov and knew that he could improve and rehab his rep.
That I don't know. I don't know if Shea endorsed it or not, and I don't know if the Canadians went to him or not. I don't know that. You might know that, Rod. I don't know that.
Well, he did.
Well, yeah, Bergeron spoke to Weber, yeah.
Okay, well, then that's great. But that's a dangerous game to play. As a manager, that's a really dangerous game to play because you don't know what their relationship was. And I can tell you this, I've heard other people that have said, no, don't take them, that were in that same dressing room. So you got to be careful on that stuff.
Hmm. But they don't have the cachet that Shea Weber does or did.
No, I'm not talking about Montreal's dressing. I'm talking about guys that were in Nashville.
Right.
There are some guys on that Nashville team that were so disappointed by what Kostitsyn and Radulov did in that playoff situation. They were really disheartened, I'm telling you.
Since the beginning of the year, he's been really solid.
You know what? You know, I was not in Nashville, and I have no clue. You know, I don't pay too much attention to, first of all, rumors and what happened in the past. You know, everybody needs a fresh start, and they certainly take full advantage of it.
All right, so there was Michel Therrien today.
That's right. Well, yeah. He's right, though. That's absolutely correct. I agree with that.
And look, this part, I don't know. I bet Weber, in the heat of the moment 4 years ago when this happened, I'm sure he was as pissed as
anybody. You want to kill him. You want to kill both of them. Are you kidding?
But 4 years after the fact, maybe he looked at it and reevaluated.
He may very well have. And he probably did, but I would tell you that was there were a lot of people really ticked off. I credit Radulov for changing. I really do. And I told you, after that Sochi Olympics, I came back knowing two guys that I would want on my team from that Russian team. One was Radulov and one was Malkin because of the way they competed.
So, Pierre, again, six games in, he has certainly made his presence felt, maybe sooner than a lot of people thought. What is the big test here? Again, how many years in the KHL? Shorter schedule, less intense, and all that stuff. When do we really know on Radulov?
Let's give it till 20 games and let's see, because he's going to start getting. And he's a big, strong guy. I mean, he's not a wallflower. He's a tough guy. He's physically strong. Let's see by 20 games if he doesn't start getting challenged a little bit more physically now. And let's see where he's at. Because I told you about Bolia. I think that's what teams are going to do to him. And they're going to go after him physically and see what he's got. And I think teams are going to start doing that to Radulov. That'll be the break point for both of those guys.
And the thing about, Wayne Simmonds went after him last day. He couldn't, he ended up taking a penalty. He draws a lot of penalties, Radulov.
He's a big, strong guy. He's a strapping guy. And he's really His hockey strength is phenomenal. It really is.
All right, texting us at 11690. Question for Pierre. You mentioned Brendan Gallagher taking the faceoff and winning it to set up the winning goal on the power play. How does Galchenyuk, 1-for-11 last night, work on getting better on faceoffs?
Every single day with Kirk Muller. I think we talked about it last week, Mitch. He should be working with Muller every day. He should be working on different moves, clean wins, scramble draws, feet wins. Every different kind of win you can do in a face-off situation, he should be working on that every single day. I know what the Rangers did this summer, and we did this in the 91 Stanley Cup Final. The Rangers, under Scotty Arneil, probably run more face-off plays than any other team in the league. Scotty Arneil made tapes of all the top centermen in the Eastern Conference, and even in the West, too, and he sent them to all their center icemen. And their face-off percentages, and Rod could check it out, their face-off percentages in New York have gone up unbelievably because of that tape that Scotty Arneil sent out and the way they studied it and performed it and practiced with it. So I would be doing a lot of coaching and a lot of studying with him in terms of different things he can do to be better.
At what point, Pierre, does it become overcoaching, though, with a guy like Galchenyuk, who you don't want him to be overwhelmed with all these extra matchups because, right, he's working on his face-offs, he's working on his down-low coverage, he's worrying about the top guys on other teams that he's going up against, he's worrying about those top defensemen that he's trying to beat offensively. Like, you don't want to overwhelm the guy. You still want him to be able to play free and play skilled and produce offense like he was last year, right?
Right. I think that's well said. But the biggest thing is, compartmentalize everything. So one thing you tell them in practice today, you're going to work on down low coverage. Practice the next day, whether it's a game day skate or not, you're going to do 50 face-off situations. We're going to give you a tape to study on the plane so that instead of playing cards on this trip, you're going to study face-off trends of the opposition coming in. I did this with a lot of good players, much better players than Galchenyuk, and it works. And the systems in terms of to educate the players today, it's much better than what we had, I can tell you that.
Well, the thing about the face-offs, it's so important. Like last night, 5-on-5, that trio really didn't threaten because they didn't have the puck enough. Because of Sidney Crosby's first year in terrible the National Hockey face-offs. League, he was 45% on face-offs. In his second year, he was about 50%, and I don't think he's been under 51 or 52 since. This is Alex Galchenyuk's first full year as a centerman.
That's awesome, and it's bang on the mark when you use the Crosby comparable, because we used to do the NBC games and just say it all the time. I mean, this is the only weakness in his game, and until it gets better, it's going to hurt him offensively, because if you don't win faceoffs, you're always chasing the puck. And when you're chasing the puck, you can't score. So it's no good. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And I really believe that's one thing that you can get better at is taking faceoffs.
Crosby's back tonight against the Islanders.
He is, which is interesting because didn't he come back against the Islanders a few years ago, too, and shredded them?
That's right.
I think I did the game. His backhand was working that night. So it'll be interesting to see how Sidney does. But I think he'll be fine.
And you mentioned the Rangers, Pierre. They were 23rd in the league in faceoffs last season, up to fourth so far this year.
Well, again, you don't make it up. You go around the rink and you hang out with the coaches and the players and you figure it out. So that tells you all you need to know. But that's one thing that I know Scott Arneil did. And I had Ulfie Samuelson, who's no longer on that staff, but we talked about the 91 Cup team a lot. And one of the ways we lost, I think there were 82 or 84 faceoffs in game one against Minnesota. They had Bobby Smith, Neil Broughton, Dave Gagne, Mark Burrell, and they wiped our centermen out in game one. And I made a tape of, I think, the 82 or the 84 faceoff situations, and we came up with faceoff protocols. In our meeting was Mario Lemieux, Ron Francis, Kenny Priestley, Randy Gillen, Brian Trottier. We made up faceoff protocols in our meeting, and we crushed them the rest of the series. We crushed them.
Just before we let you go, the Leafs are playing tonight. They're playing Tampa Bay. Pierre LeBrun. Yes, what a circus that is. Pierre's going to join us after 6, but earlier today, Mike Babcock was asked about, well, he didn't like the question, I don't think, about his goaltending.
The guy on Saturday night said that the Leafs' goaltending has been lousy this year, and I'm just wondering if the guy on Saturday night, Jerry. He said the Leafs' goaltending has been
Cripps.
Lousy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So now that I know where I'm getting my facts from, here we go. Now I can enter. Come on, let's move on. What's next here?
No. Holy. What was that? What was that, Gallo? Please put this in proper perspective.
That was Kenny Campbell. I could tell his voice from here. That was Ken Campbell from the Hockey News, wasn't it, Mitch Gallo?
Yes, it was.
And he was quoting Grapes.
He was quoting Don Cherry saying that Frederick Anderson has been lousy and they should have never got rid of Reimer.
And Babcock answered with an expletive?
Holy, you know what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't write off Freddie Anderson this quick. I know one thing. They didn't win with Reimer, so that's why they traded him. I think Lou Lamoriello knows goalies pretty well. He had a pretty good one. He had a few good ones. Terreri was good. He traded for Corey Schneider. He had drafted Marty Brodeur after Calgary took Trevor Kidd in the 90 draft. So I think Lou Lamoriello knows goalies pretty well. I'd put some stock into Lou picking goalies.
And in Boston tonight, Malcolm Subban gets a shot for the Bruins. Is he a star caliber goalie in the making at some point, or
he's a really good athlete who's extremely quick. He's going to have to play a little bit more discipline. You know, you said a really good thing about positional goaltending. He's got to learn that. He's a little like, remember Marc-Andre Fleury early in his career, how quick he was and out of control he was, and how he gave up a lot of bad goals because he was always overactive, hyped up a little bit?
Yeah.
That's a little like Malcolm Subban right now.
Pierre McGuire, we will talk to you tomorrow prior to Al Montoya's start in his old hockey home. And more on Stamkos returning to Toronto tonight. Thank you.
I'll be talking to you from Madison Square Garden, the Bruins and the Rangers.